friends, this is Andrew Phipps, and I am excited about our programming for you today. This is going to be tremendous. We have such wonderful segments that we have included in the total program. You are not going to be disappointed. Years ago, I heard the African-American Baptist preacher by the name of E.V. Hill, and I always thought that he had some great illustrations, and I like the way he delivers a sermon. You're going to enjoy him, so let's join him right now.
And God has something in store for you, and God is going to take care of you.
Yeah.
And I heard something. And I have seen something. I've seen something, both negative and positive. I've seen the lightning flashing. I've been through the rain and the storm. I know what it is to suffer. I know what it is to not have. I know what it is to want. Not only heard something, but I've seen something. I've seen God open doors that no man can shut. I've seen God work many miracles. I was born in Columbus, Texas, 75 miles west on the San Antonio Highway. And my mother was a very poor woman, and at a year and a half, my father left my mother, and we moved to San Antonio, Texas, mother with four children. And she got a job, and she made $12.50 a week. And out of that had to come rent. And so one day I was playing out in the yard, and some elderly people came by the name of Langram. And they said, Ms. Langram said, "Who is this boy here that's underfed?" I had a great big head and a great big stomach, malnutrition. And he said, "That's Miss Hill's boy. Where's Miss Hill? She's working. Who takes care of the children? They kind of take care of themselves until she gets home." And so they stayed until mother came. And they said, "Miss Hill, we're the Langrams. We live out in the country. Our sister lives right next door to you. She's ill. We come up every 2 weeks to see her. We stayed here because all of our children are up and out. They're grown. And we have plenty. And we'd like to take this boy and this girl to the country. It's summertime now where they can play and we have plenty." Well, I heard for the first time the word plenty. That stuck in my ear. Plenty, plenty, plenty. I had never been around any place where there was plenty. Mother said, "I can't give my child away." And they said, no. Whenever you want them, just drop us the line, postcard, we'll get it. But we'll be up here every 2 weeks, and we'll bring them back. Well, the plenty turned out to be a two-room log cabin. I was looking for a great big old house, and here is a two-room log cabin. And the plenty turned out to be wild rabbits and squirrels and hickanuts and wild berries and wild this and wild that. That turned out to be the plenty. But I fell in love with Papa because I hadn't had a daddy. And so there I came up out in Sweet Home. At 11 years old, I was awakened and Papa was dead. Mama wasn't at home. She was in San Antonio. And Papa was in the rocking chair dead. And so from 11 until 17, Mama and I lived together in that log. The only thing we ever got was some apples and oranges and cheese and jelly, a syrup. No check coming. We had to pick cotton during the summer and shake peanuts and pull corn and store back $600 to $700 wherever Mama kept it, and kill a hog and put him in the smokehouse and get some syrup, and that's how we lived. And all of my clothes were given to me one way or the other. Just now and then would I get something bought. But I studied hard, and Mama would drill into me every night. "You're poor and you're colored, but you're going to take one ball and knock a home run." And she just kept on that. And we ran out of food. And I heard Mama praying around midnight. That's when she prayed. And she said, "Lord, you know I have this boy over here, and he's big, and he eats, and he's hungry, and we don't have no food, and I can't get out. And you know all about it." And the next morning at 7 o'clock, Bud Anthony on his horse trotted by and pitched a whole sack full of food on the porch and kept riding. Sweet potatoes and bacon and flour and whatever. Just throwed it on the porch. Mama just prayed at 12. And we got a whole sack full of food. And Mama cooked saying, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord." You couldn't keep her quiet. She shouted three times every service. Every service. Every time something would come across that she had been through, she'd get up and say, "Yes!" Amen. Amen. She was like that. They couldn't keep Mama quiet, because Mama would pray at midnight and a sack of groceries thrown on the porch at 7. That's angelic messenger. That's better than Federal Express. So when I had fever of 105, and in my community, no white doctor would see a Negro, and the Negro doctor couldn't be found hardly because he was so busy. And then if we found him, we didn't have no money. And Mama just said, she reached over and said, "Lord, you know." That's all she said. "Lord, you know." "You know." And the next morning I was up, and I was ready to go to my job because I had to milk 3 cows and make 4 fires in my school before 8 o'clock. And that fever was gone. And all Mama said is, "Lord, you know. You know." So I've seen something. Then Mama got up in prayer meeting and announced, "My boy is going to finish high school. It's going to finish high school." Well, in the community that I live, no Negro finished high school for the most part. Every now and then, you got to the 10th grade, and then you were hired out to white farmers. And she said, "Ed's going to finish high school." And so the deacon said, "Well, now, Miss Langram, don't get too big-headed. That boy will finish the 10th grade next year, and you can hire him out as big as he is for $2 a day, and he can help you." She said, "He's going to finish high school." And so I finished high school, president of my class, valedictorian, highest academic student in my class. I was the only one in my class. And you couldn't shut Mama up. I was walking behind Mama with my diploma, and they gave me a whole commencement. Old community turned out, commencement speaker and everything, and I marched, the only graduate in my class. And I had my diploma looking at it, and Mama was behind me just shouting and breaking down trees and limbs, saying, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord." When the community got settled, Mama got up in prayer meeting and said, "Ed is going to college." And so a committee of people came over, men, deacons, advisors, church rulers. They came over and said, "I'm Ms. Langham. Ed finished high school. And that's a marvelous thing. But now this going to college. Now let him go on to work. He can get $3 a day now. Let him go and work. You don't have any money. He doesn't have any money. We don't have no money. He can't go to no school." Mama took me to the 12-way bus company. Mama bought my ticket. And Mama bought me one little suit she found, dark suit, and got me some blue jeans and a couple of shirts. And she wrapped my suitcase with a rope. She gave me the ticket, and then she says, "Now here is $5. Now go on to school. God's going to make a way." And just as I attempted to get on, but she said, another thing I want to tell you. I will be praying for you. And I go home. And I can almost see in our little 4 foot something standing. I'm praying for you. And I got fur of you. I splurged on the way. I got there with only $1.83. And I had to pay a quarter to catch a bus to ride down to the campus. And I went straight to the bursar's office. And I got in line. And there was a sign up there that says $83. Cash, money order, or cashier's check. $83. And the devil said, now which one do you have? And I heard my mama said, in this ear right here, I heard my mama say, I will be praying for you. So I got in line, and the devil said, now don't be stupid, get out of here. This is no prayer meeting, this ain't Sweet Home. With all due respect to your mama, your mama ain't in control of purview. And get out of line, don't embarrass yourself. And I heard my mama say, and I will be praying for you. And I just stayed in line and just kept moving on up. And finally there were two between myself and the clerk. And then finally there was one, and she paid a bill. And the devil said, now, you next. What are you going to do with $1.83 minus 25 cents? What are you going to do? What are you going to say? And I said, and mama said, and I will be praying for you. And I got close, and then this girl took her time, as you women do, and fold up everything and put it wherever y'all put it. And was just stepping aside. And I was just about to step up, and Dr. Drew put his hands and said, are you Ed Hill? I said, yes, sir. Get out of line. I said, no, sir. I can't get out of line. I've got to go to school. Mama's praying for me. I have to go to school. He said, please get out of line. I said, no, please don't put me out of school. I came all the way down here. I know how to wash. I know how to iron. I know how to cook. I know how to clean up. I don't have any money, but I'll be an asset to your institution if you just let me in school. He said, son, I'm trying to tell you. Didn't you get our letter? I said, no, sir. He said, well, we've been trying. We've been looking for you all this morning. We wrote you and told you to be here this morning. I said, well, why have me to come down and write me and gonna put me out? He said, we're not putting you out. We have a 4-year scholarship. We have 4 years. And it says, it will pay your tuition, it will pay your room and board, and it will give you $35 a month to spend. And I heard my mama say, and I will be praying for you.
Friends, we have so many great segments in the programming. We do that with you in mind. We try to have a variety. We want to include interviews, on-spot locations, songs. We just think it adds to the program, and so many of you seem to enjoy that, and for that we're grateful. I really feel that in our Faith, Family, and Freedom program, we're trying to emphasize our faith, the necessity of family, and of course, protecting our freedoms. We've met a lot of great friends in gospel singing over the years, and Danny Funderburk is one of those. He sang tenor with the Cathedral Quartet for a number of years, and people liked this song. It kind of became his signature song. You'll enjoy it because Danny Funderburk says, "Somebody touch me."
Many years ago in darkness, I see groped along the streets with his hand stretched out for pennies or for just one bite to eat. is the story of the blind man who met Jesus on his way. Well, the master's touch, the man looked up as the scoffers heard him say, had labored not in vain. Like the story of that crippled man, I too was found myself, but since my master came, oh praise his name, thank God I now can say, oh somebody touch me, somebody.
If you'd like to have any of our products, we do have a Faith, Family, and Freedom Handbook. We have some DVDs. We did one with Pastor Jim Scudder in Washington, D.C. a little over a year ago. It's called Can You Find God in D.C.? I think you will enjoy the beautiful programming that was done in the Jefferson and Lincoln Memorials and other places. If you want any of our products, just call us or get in touch with us, as would be indicated there on the screen. It's in the book of Exodus, about the 18th chapter. You can find it there, where they were given the instructions of how to choose our leaders. They were to be able men. They were to be people that loved God, that hated covetousness, and not last of all, they were to be people of truth. It even said that you would put some leaders over 50s, over hundreds, and some over 1,000. We even have the breakdown of our legislature, our ruling separation of powers right there in the Bible, like a national, state, and local. It's there for us to check out. Unfortunately, we have a habit in America of allowing the wicked to choose the wicked. How is that done? The swamp chooses. Our voting, in many cases, doesn't have much effect. 93% of the members of Congress get reelected. They have a more favorable reelection habit than they had in the Politburo in Russia. Why? Gerrymandering, where they choose the voters rather than the voters choosing the candidates. No term limits, where we have congressmen that serve until they have to physically be helped out of office. I read where that if you had a imposition of 12 years for service in the Congress, we'd still have 287 members that were unaffected. The founding fathers didn't want public service to be a career. They were looking for people that would go and do their best and then come home. We shouldn't be tied in to the lobbyists and the special interest groups, but that's where the candidates get their money and they know it. So consequently, they spend a great deal of their time raising more money so they can get reelected, and then they raise more money so they can get reelected. Tragic. But until we can change the dynamics, and until we can change the equation, I'm afraid that nothing is really going to change. The swamp, who are they? Well, I've been reading Eric Bolling's book, and he describes them pretty well. It's people that have self-interest, people that want to perpetuate and motivate and get reelected. And what they do, they may act like they are on different sides of the aisle, but in actuality, they help each other because they know that to expose the system is not good. 80% or better of the American people want term limits. Why wouldn't we get it? And yet, no congressman that I know of hardly can do any good trying to get the bill introduced because it doesn't get a hearing. So we end up with representatives that oftentimes go in with just meager incomes, and many go out as millionaires plus, with great perks, great benefits, and no wonder they like to retain the system as it is. The lobbyists want to keep it as it is because they already have these people in their hip pocket. And so to change the system means they'd have to be putting up with new people all the time. But it's a change that we need.
In his new book, It's Always a Struggle, But, my dear friend Andrew Phipps delivers his life story straight from the heart, with a fascinating journey of faith, hope, and inspiration, even during the hard times. Andrew shares great stories from some of life's hardest lessons. Adding his own personal homespun humor and God-given wisdom, he encourages us to live life with a servant's heart. It's a great read that will have you inspired and give you an understanding of Andrew's journey as he shares personal stories of his family, his Christian faith, his great love of country, and how the transforming power of God changed the course of his life. It's often said that life gives the test first and the lesson later. Andrew makes an honest effort to help us by sharing his life experiences with humbleness, sincere candor, and his faith in God. We all have been there, those days when life is a struggle. I hope you will enjoy Andrew Phipps' new book, It's Always a Struggle, But. I highly recommend it.
To place your order for It's Always a Struggle, But, simply visit Andrew's website at phippsfaithfamilyfreedom.org. Order your copy today.
Thank you.
friends, we thank you so much for joining us for the Faith, Family, and Freedom program. I think those three words encompass so much of our goals, our philosophy, and what we're trying to attain. I can't think of three greater words, and I appreciate so much the fact that you tell others about our programming, and we thank you in advance for your kindness. Be sure that you join us every week, and also we have a website. Whether it's ordering the book or other materials, be sure you visit us. Right now, we're telling you that we'll look forward to seeing you. But until then, this is Andrew Phipps. Have a great day.